Okay, we're beginning here, seven lines down on the top of Pei Chedim and Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Mai Dichtiv, what is meant by V'achu Amim Rabim, V'amru L'chu V'nalel Har Shem, El Beit Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Yaakov, V'lo Elokei Avraham V'Yitzchak? What do you mean? We're going to go up to the God of Yaakov. What happened to being the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak? Why is he only the God of Yaakov? El Elokei Avraham Shekatuv Bo Har. Not like Avraham who called it a mountain. Shenemar Asher Yemer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. So that pasuk where by Akedat Yitzchak it's called Har Hashem Har Amoria. Loki Yitzchak Shekatuv Bo Sadeh Shenemar Bayetzei Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. And Chazal say that Yitzchak went out to daven in the same location that Avram had performed the Akedat Yitzchak, meaning on Har Amoria, but he called it a Sadeh. Eliyaki Yaakov shikaro bayit. But like Yaakov, who called it a bayit shenemar, vayikra shema makomahu beit el. The place where he stopped, and he has the dream, and he davens to Hashem, that Hashem should protect him, he called that location beit el. As Rashi points out over here, hara moria, uste yitzchak, u beit el diyakov, kulam bahara bayit hitpalulu. They all daven on har habayit. Now this is not muskam. The Kol HaRishonim, the Ramban in particular says that Yaakov's dream took place in Be'er Sheva, and that he davened to Hashem in Be'er Sheva, not on Har HaMoriah. Ramban believes that it was in Be'er Sheva, because that's where he had gone before. It doesn't make sense that it was at Har HaMoriah. It was from before he left. The Ramban says that's where he davened to Hashem. He has the dream. But the Gemara suggests over here that because Yaakov called it a bayit, that's why he is Zocher to have it named after him or to have Elokei Yaakov. But it also has to do with the nature of the individuals, which is Abram, who's the founder of our nation, the forefather who started everything. He describes it as a har, as a mountain. He's the one who climbed the mountain. He's the one who started it, put up the flag, and started it. Yitzchak Lasuach B'Sadeh is a plain, something that's flat, because Yitzchak was, in the face of Abraham, a second generation who basically continued what Abraham had done. He was no longer, I would call, revolutionary in that sense. He was able to perpetuate that which his father did, which is a very difficult thing. Many times, have a revolution, the second generation can't hold on to it, can't establish it. That's what Yitzchak is able to do, is to make it into a sadeh. Yaakov, karo bayit. Yaakov makes it then into a permanent location, which we say many times that v'chuta mishulash lo b'meira yinatzeik. You have three generations, and three ply string doesn't break easily. So here, the third generation, Yaakov establishes it not only as a mountain or a sadeh, but as a bayit, as something of permanence. And that's why it's known as Elokei Yaakov, because Yaakov is the one who firmly establishes it for the dorot, for the generations. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, gadol kibbutz galiot, kiyom shnivru bo shamayim varetz. The day of Kibbutz Galiot is as great as the day that the world was created. Shenamar, the reason we're bringing this is it's from Hosea Bet, which is the psukim that we've been darshing all along, from the first two prokim in Hosea. Shenamar, v'nik bitzu, b'nei Yudah, b'nei So yachdav. B'nei Yudah, b'nei So will come together. V'samalahem, rosh achad, of a singular leader, single leader. V'alu min aretz, and they will come out of the lands, ki gadol yom Yisrael, being such a great day. And the Gemara Darshan Zuchti Vahi Erev Vayvoker Yom Echad. So the word Yom and Yom, Yom Israel and Yom Echad, Mar parallels the two of them, saying that just like the Yom Echad, the first day of creation, the creation of Shemayim Varetz, so too Yom Israel, the day of Kibbutz Galiot, will be as great as that day of creation of Shemayim Varetz. Now the Gemara continues, based on the Mishnah says, Yatom Sheshachadu Alav Apitropsim. If the Yatom has two guardians, and they both shechted on his behalf, he can choose which one to go to. So Shma Mina Yesh Breira. So the Gemara again comes to the conclusion that there must be Breira. We saw that before by the woman. She can choose between her husband or her father. So we said before, Breira, she can decide after the fact. The Gemara there answered, Shkita. That was at the Zman of Shkita. So even though they both put her a person on a Karban Pesach, at the moment of Shkita, she has to have decided at that point where she's going, because we don't think that there is Breira over here. Now the Gemara is stuck again, because here you have the same thing, where the Yatom is able to pick which one he goes on. So the Gemara says again, Yesh Breira. Now the answer, the same answer it answered before, which is, it was before Shechita, is not meaningful, because why do you need two bavot in the mission to teach you that same din? Doesn't make sense. So Amar Rabbi Zeira said Labayit. The answer to that problem is Sela Bayit. Now Rashi explains Sela Bayit, which is Ish Bala Bayit Yikachenu L'chol Bnei Beito V'en Tzirich Da'atan. Sela Bayit means Mikol Makom. If you are the head of the household, as the head of the household, you're able to include your whole household on your Karban HaPesach, and you don't have to get their acquiescence to be on the Karban HaPesach. So you can shech the Karban HaPesach assuming that all the members of your household will join you on the Korban HaPesach, and we'll see that in a second. The Gemara is going to bring brightot, especially for youngsters, people who are ktanim, minors, they for sure are drawn after their household. So by definition, if someone is part of the household and they're ktanim and you shech for them, they're part of that, and you don't have to ask them permission for that. And that's what Sela Bayit means over here. The two guardians shechted on behalf of the Yatom, and in shechting on behalf of the Yatom, he's included as a minor on their Korban, because they are the guardians, the executors of the estate, and therefore, he's automatically included in their household. And that's why you can choose after the fact. It's not because there's Breira. It's because the truth is, he's really, in a sense, on both Korban and Pesach. Because each one of them has the right to take care of this minor. And since they're taking care of a minor is automatically drawn into the Pesach. It's as if he's included in both Korban and Pesach. And so when he goes to choose later, it's not really Breira. He is really a member of both of those Korban and Pesach. Now, Tosafot does something interesting here, and he says, Sela Bayit, Perush Mishum de Sela Bayit Lav Deoraita. So Tosafot says the opposite. Rashi says that Sela Bayit is an all-inclusive term, and therefore they're included completely. Tosafot says something very interesting. He says Sela Bayit is not a limud midoraita. It's not a din mina Torah. And so why is he allowed to be joined here? What is the katan doing over here and joining in the Karban HaPesach? It's not mina Torah. It's only a din derabbanan. That means that this young individual, this minor who's joining in the Karban HaPesach, wasn't really a part of the Karban HaPesach. And now he's eating something that he's not allowed to. So it's like machil nevelot. It's like feeding him nevela. He's not allowed to participate in this Karban HaPesach. He wasn't a part of the Karban HaPesach. So how are you feeding him from the Karban HaPesach? It's not a din d'oraita. So it says, even though in general we don't have to be mafrish ktanim isura, you can't be safi lebi adayim. You don't have to stop them from doing isura necessarily, depending on the circumstances, when you're responsible, when not responsible, but yeah, you can't feed them directly Isser. Over here, you're feeding them Korban HaPesach. It's like you're putting Isser in their mouth. So Tosfot has an incredible answer. It really has many implications in terms of chinuch. It says, Vomari, Tehatam yamlina an milot tochlum, v'lo asur ala dumya dishratzim v'nei velot. The only time it's asur is when it's very similar to shratzim v'nei velot. Aval ki ayyavno, deika chinuch mitzvah shari. So he says, the only time you have a problem with feeding them Isser is when you're giving things like nevela and shratzim, which have no value. There's no educational value in what you're doing. But in the case by Korban HaPesach, where there's an educational value of chinuch, then it's a mitzvah, you can feed him the Korban HaPesach, even though technically it's asur. Even though he's not a part of this Korban HaPesach, even though he's not a member, a manui on the Korban HaPesach, but for the mitzvah of chinuch, you're allowed to violate the isur, give him Korban HaPesach, even though he's not supposed to be a part of it, in order to teach him, to have him be mechunach, which is Tosafot the Shitato. Tosafot the Shitato is that the child themselves accomplished the mitzvah, do a mitzvah. Whereas according to Rashi, the whole obligation is on the parent or on the father to be mechanech the child. The mitzvah actually belongs to the parent. Not only are they responsible, but they are, the mitzvah itself is that the parent be mechanech the child. And then Tosafot believes that it's the mitzvah of chinuch, is a mitzvah of the child. And the child accomplishes it, he accomplishes a mitzvah derabanan. And so that's what the suggestion is over here, that since there's an accomplishment of the mitzvah of chinuch by the child having this Korban HaPesach, that overrides the isur, the necessity for you to separate him from isur. Obviously this has big implication, allowing an isur to be violated in order to have chinuch. As long as there is constructive chinuch involved in it, then we allow an isur to be violated. It's an amazing answer of the Tosafot as to why we allow this to go on. Right now, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Gemara here, which is interesting. It's not quoted by the Masoret HaShas, but it's an identical Gemara that we saw in Eruvin Daf, Pei Bet, Amud Bet. Only over there, instead of saying about the Korban HaPesach, it says about an Eruv. And so just every time he says the word Korban Pesach here, it says Eruv instead. But the identical Gemara, identical answer is very interesting. It's so parallel. Tanu Rabbanan, Sela Bayit, Malameich, Adam Mevi, V'Shochet. Sela Bayit comes to teach you that a person can come along and shech for his children that are minors, his evidence shivcha who are kananim, ben midatan uben shelo midatan, whether they acquiesce or not, he doesn't need their permission to do this. Rashi explains why. for his young children, his minor children, Bishvil, Shibno Bito Akhtanim, Alav Lechanchan. Here's Rashi Lishitato, that the obligation of Chinuch devolves upon the parent, not on the child itself. And therefore, the mitzvah is the parent. So the parent has this obligation to be Chinuch the child. The child doesn't have an option over here. The parent does what is supposed to be done, and that's it. Because they have the obligation to be Chinuch the child. Avdov Shivchato Akhtanim, they are dependent on him. Their source of sustenance, their whole source of any ability to eat, to have anything in life, comes from their Adon. So since they're dependent on him, he has to provide the Korban HaPesach for them. On the other hand, when it comes to his children who are not minors, his older children, aval eino shochet, he cannot be shochet ayidei b'no bito agdolim, for his children that are older, ayidei abdov shivchato ayivrim, his Jewish eved or shivcha, vayidei ishto, or for his wife, elamidatan. They need to acquiesce to join in over here. In terms of his children that are older, it's clear that they are now bar dat. They have the ability to understand and make decisions and technically to be independent. So therefore, you have to have their permission to join them in your Korban HaPesach. Right, so here, in this Gemara, Gedolim seems to mean over the age of Bar Mitzvah. In Bava Metzia, the Gemara discusses that Tanim and Gedolim might have to do with what's called Somech al Shulchano, which has to do with whether they are dependent on the father for their food and for their livelihood. And Somech al Shulchano would be the threshold, not 13. Although Tosfot over here says it seems to be that the Gemara over here is talking about literally Gadol and Katan, because the issue is Dat. And Dat is determined by the age of 13, and therefore it's really, the threshold here is actually 13 years old. I suppose in other places where it may be even older, when there's Somech al Shulchan Aviyam, that it might not be that way. So his wife, actually, Midata, even though his wife is completely dependent on the husband, that's because the wife has an option, where she can say to her husband, you don't get my Maisei Yadayim, and you don't have to feed me. She has a way to gain independence to support herself economically, and since she has that right, she also can have data, she can make a decision over here. Eved and Shivcha Yivrim is because they are full-fledged Jews. The owner, or the Adon here, doesn't have rights to them like he does in Eved Kanani and Shivcha Kanani. Eved Kanani and Shivcha Kanani are viewed like property, and therefore all their rights are subject to the will of the Adon. The Eved Yivri and Shivcha Yivriya, there is a daya that they have that same din like a Kananit. But the halacha, the accepted view, is that they are full-fledged Jews, and the Adon only has a right to their output, basically has a leasehold in them. He gets their output, but he doesn't own anything about them, versus the Eved Kanani and Shivcha Kanani, where he actually owns them. What's interesting is that the only way to have a Shivcha Ivri is an Amah Ivriya, and an Amah Ivriya has to be a Ketana. As soon as she comes of age, she goes free. So you actually have a situation here where you have an Ama Ivriya, which means that she's a Ketana, and yet he doesn't have to provide the Korban HaPesach for her. She has to opt in, or she has to have Dat. So she's a Ketana, and she has to have Dat. And Rashi says something over here interesting, that he has no obligation in terms of her Chinuch. He's not her parent. And since she's not her parent, came into Ein Alav L'Chancha Yechola Limchot. Since the father has no obligation to be Mechanecher, she has the right to object and say no. What's interesting is, who does have the obligation to be mechanech, that young girl? Because her father sold her out as a shivcha, or amayivriya, he really no longer has rights in her, and then the new owner says has no obligation. It's almost as if she has no mechanech anymore. Wonder, it might be that it devolves back on her father, though her father lost rights to her, even if she is sent free from here, whatever happens, if she's divorced in this case, the father no longer has rights in this daughter anymore. It's interesting that she becomes like an independent agent in a sense. So because of that, you have this division. Anybody who is a minor or has independence from the husband, the father, the Adon, they can object to being part of the Pesach, and he needs their acquiescence. Anybody who's dependent or is subject to the either chinuch or ownership of the father, Adon, master, then they can be brought into the Korban Pesach, even if they don't agree, they don't have any right to object. So that's one brayta. Tanya Yidach, of a second brayta. Lo yishchot adam, lo yadei b'no bito agdolim, not for his older children, v'yadei avdo shivchato ivrim, or for his eved or shivcha uzivri, v'yadei ishto elamidatan, or his wife, except with their acquiescence. This is identical to the previous brayta. Aval shochetu, ayadei b'no bito aktanim, v'yadei avdo shivchato aknanim, Ben Midata and Ben Shalom Ata'atan. Again, identical to the previous Braita, that for minors and for your servants who are Kananim, you can do it without their acquiescence. Vikulan, here's the new part of the second Braita. Vikulan Shishachatu, v'shachat rabban alehen. In all these instances, if they shechted a korban Pesach, and their master, husband, father, shechted on their behalf, yotzin bishel rabban, v'ein yotzin bishel atzman. They can be yotze with their father, master's korban, and not their own. Chutz min ha'isha shecholet l'chei mchot. Except for his wife, who couldn't object. So since his wife can object, if she shechts and he shechts, then she can't be used his, she has to use hers. Now the question is, Maishna Isha. What's so unique about a woman? In the previous Braita, as well as the beginning of this Braita, we said that a woman, as well as a Shivcha and Eved Ivri, plus the older children who are over the age of Bar Mitzvah, they all have the right to object. So what's unique about the Isha that if she shechts and he shechts, that she can't use his korban? Yet, the older children, if they shech their own korban, and then their father shechs that they can use their father's korban, why is there such a differentiation? The answer is Amar Rovo. The Gersa here is Amar Rovo. The Gersa in Erevin is Amar Rabo. Isha b'chol d'damila. The answer is that it's a woman and anybody similar to her. A woman is just the paradigm of someone who has independence. So Isha doesn't just mean Isha. It means Isha b'no b'to agdolim, Eved Ivri, Shivcha Ivriya. All of these have that same din, which is since they have a certain amount of independence, therefore they are not subsumed under his korban. If they do their own korban, then they are not allowed to join his korban. Now, how gufa kasha? We have an internal stira in the Braita. Amart, utzmi aisha, shechola limchot. You said that the only reason that he has to get the acquiescence of his wife is because she has the ability to object. Time of demachi. So if she objects, then there's a problem. Halo machi, if she doesn't object, nafka b'shel bala. She will be included under her husband's korban. The default status is that she is included under her husband's korban, unless she specifically objects. Vaktani reisha. The reisha says, v'lo yedei ishto elami da'atan. Says over here that he needs his wife's acquiescence. Hastama lo nafka. So that sounds like default is you're not yotze. Reisha sounds like the default is you're not joined into the korban, you need their acquiescence. You need positive acquiescence to join the korban. The second half of the braita sounds like you have to object to not be a part of it. The default status would be that they are a part of it. So you have an internal stira. What is the default status? Is the default status I'm in unless I object? Or is the default status I'm out unless I acquiesce? So that's the question. The two halves of the braita seem to be giving you opposite conclusions. So my ela midatan, when we said in the ratio, what does it mean midatan? Lav demre in. Doesn't it mean that they have to make a positive acceptance? They say, yes, we're in. So ela, the Gemara says, no, bistama. It's a case, no, default. The default is that they're in. Lafuke heche damar lo. Comes to exclude a case where they said, no. Vaha kulam sheshachatu v'shachat rabban alehen. What about the latter half of the Mishnah that says if they shecht and their master, husband, father shechts, Yotzim b'shel rabban, they could join it. The bistama, that's a case of stam. And it says the wife's out because she could object. She didn't say anything over here. She didn't object. And the default is not that she's in. The default is that she's out. So that's the answer. Exactly what you're saying, Amarava. Since they shechted independently, you have no greater objection to the fact that they don't want to be a part. I mean, it's one thing to say, no, I'm not a part of your korban. To go and do it in a whole other korban is clearly, I know I don't want to be a part of your korban. I don't need you to tell me no. I know that you're not a part of my korban because that's a objection. That's a demonstration of no through action. So you can have a no by saying no, or you can have a no by demonstrating that you don't want to be a part of it. Those are the two ways to say no. So the default is that you're in. The default is selabait, which is that everybody in the household is included unless they specifically object. Who has a right to object? The one who has a right to object is the woman, the children who are over the age of bar mitzvah, and the eved ivri and the shivcha ivriya. Otherwise, the default to status is that they're in, and they can object either by saying no, we don't want to be a part of it, or they can object by actually taking an action and saying, basically, by taking that action, we don't want to be a part of your korban pesach. Eved shel shnei shutafin. If you have an eved who's owned by two owners, Rami le Rav Ina Sabo, le Rav Nachman. So Rav Ina Sabo says to Rav Nachman, it's not. We have a Mishnah. Eved shel shnei shutafim, lo yochal mishel shneihem. He may not eat of either of theirs. Vatanya, that's our Mishnah. Then we have a Braita that says, Ratzami Zeuchel, Ratzami Zeuchel. If He wants to eat from this one, he can. He wants to eat from that one, he can. So we have a stira between the Braita and our Mishnah. Amalei, in a Saba, says to him, in a Saba, or Vamila, Patya Ukma, black bread, which is some sort of name or nickname for him. One of them will play on his name, which is Ena Saba, which was like scholarly eye. Or there's Patya Ukma, because of his appearance. He has an unattractive appearance. He was a little swarthy. Rashi in Avodah Zarah and in Brachot explains, it meant that he was involved in work that made him dark because he toiled as a workman, or because he was so involved in Limud HaTorah that he neglected his appearance.
Mini uminach distaim shmetida. Between the two of us, we can come up with a conclusion here. We can figure this out. Matnitan b'khabde adodi. Mishnah is a case where the owners are makpid one on another. Bright is look up the adodi. Bright is a case where they are not makpid one on another. Now, in terms of what they're makpid about, Rashi notes here, and Tosafot seconds this idea, is not that they object to the other person benefiting from them. It's not like they made a korban pesach, and now this eved has two owners. And if he feeds the eved, he's feeding his half of the eved, and he's feeding his friend's half of the eved. So that way, it's not that he's makpid that his friend might get benefit from him, that he's feeding him on the Karban Pesach. Rather, akpodo is that he doesn't want to get benefit from his friend. The akpodo is, I don't want you to take care of my part of the Eved. So that's the statement of the Hana over here. Ein chaveiro rotze she'enei chalko mishel chaveiro. I don't want my half of the Eved fed by you. I want to feed my half of the Eved. So it's a more positive statement of Akbada. It's not Akbada where they are, I don't want to feed your half. I don't want to take care of your half. No, rather it's the other way around. I don't want you taking care of it. I have that obligation. I want to take care of my obligation there. So in that case, when they're makpid on each other, he's stuck. Because he can't eat from either Karban Pesach. Because each half of him is governed by his owner. And if his owner says, I don't want you eating from him because I want to feed you, then he can't go eat from that Karban Pesach. And this vice versa is the same. He can't eat from either Karban Pesach. He's stuck. That's our Mishnah. In the case of the Braita, where they're not makpid, they say, okay, you want to eat there, you want to eat here, that's fine. Then he can pick which one he eats from, and it's not a problem. Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. Someone who's half an eved, half ben chorin. Lo yuchal misho robo. He may not partake of the Karban Pesach from his master. Now this happens, for instance, in the previous case, we have joint ownership. You have partners who own an Eved Knani. One of them frees him. The other one does not free him. So that's how you end up with a Chetzio Eved, Chetzio Ben Chorin. Mishal Rabo Hu Dulo Yochal. Sounds like he can't eat from his master's Karban Pesach. Aval Mishal Atzmo Yochal. But he can eat his own. V'atanya. Lo Yochal Lo Mishalo V'lo Mishal Rabo. We have a bright that says he can't eat his own. He can't eat from his master's. I mean, he has a problem. He has enough ownership in the one to have his own because the side Abdut Shibo. On the other hand, he can't eat from his master's because of the side Kerut Shibo. So he has a problem. Lokasho, that's not a problem. Kan Kamishna Rishona, Kan Kamishna Achrona. Depends if you're looking at the first Mishnah or the second Mishnah. First Mishnah and second Mishnah refers or reflected by, you can see here, it comes up numerous times in Shas. It's found in Mishnayot and Ediot. It's found in the Chagiga, Gitin, Baba Batra. All of Shas, which is that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai have a machloket about what to do over here with regards to this Eved Kenani, who is half owned as an Eved still and half Ben Chorin. What's the solution here? You have two partners own him. So, Ditznan. Misha Chetzio Eved, Chetzio Ben Chorin, Ovedet Rabo Yom Echad, Vetatzmo Yom Echad. Delivery Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel is an easy solution. Let him work for himself one day. Every other day he'll work for himself, and every other day he'll work for his owner. That's how he gets half his own, half his master's. Seems like a pretty good solution for him. Beit Shammai Omrim. Beit Shammai says, Tikantem et Rabo. He took care of his master. Vetatzmo Lo Tikantem, but he didn't take care of him. So what does that mean he didn't take care of him? Lisa Shivcha Eno Yachol. Cannot marry a Shivcha because Shvar Chetzio Ben Chorin. He is a Ben Chorin, his half of him is a free man. And the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry Lotia Kadesh Mibnei Yisrael. The restriction against Kadesh and Kadesha, the Targum over there translated is that you may not marry a Shivcha Kananit or you may not marry an Eved Kananit. Meaning that there's a restriction against marrying an Eved Kananit. So this Ben Chorin can't marry the Shivcha Kananit because that's a problem of Lotia Kadesha. So he can't marry the Shivcha Kananit. Inside Abdut Shibo could have married the Shivcha Kananit, but that's only half of him. The Tzad Kherut Shibo can't. Lisa Bet Chorin, if he wants to marry a regular free woman, and Yechosh Adayin Chetzio Eved. So he can't do that because of the Tzad Abdut Shibo. Sarav Dushabo is impermissible for him to be married to this woman. So Yivatel. So okay, what? He won't get married. So halo lo nivra olam elo lepriria urivya. The world was created for peru urvu. Shenemar. Pasuk says in Yishayahu, lo tov vira'a ashevet yitzara. God did not create, there it says a rhetorical question, God did not create the world to be desolate, ashevet yitzara. He created it to be settled. Ela, mipnei tikkun olam, for tikkun olam, what do we do? Kofinet rabo, force the master who still owns him, oseoto ben chorim, he frees him entirely. So now he becomes a totally free man, v'kotev shtarach atzi damav, and he gives him an IOU for the value of what he just freed him for. Chazru beit hillel orotku beit shammai. And Beit Hillel then changed their position and followed the position of Beit Shammai. So now when we said before, Kamishna Rishona, Kamishna Achrona, that means that when we said before you cannot partake of either Korban in the Braita, that is the case of Mishnah Rishona. That's before we insisted that he be freed. Mishnah Achrona says we insisted he be freed, we give him the status as if he's freed now. Because we're going to force the master to free him, therefore he has the status of being a free man there, and therefore he can participate in the Korban, his own Korban Pesach, not from his master's, but from his own Korban Pesach. And that'll reconcile between the Mishnah and the Braita. Now, what comes up here, Tosafot raises it here on the end of Pirus Amud, raises it in numerous places in Shas, which is the application of this mitzvah of Lo Tohu Vira'ah Lashevet Yitzarah. How does this relate to the mitzvah of Peru Urvu? You have a mitzvah of Peru Urvu, and now the Gemara quotes, instead of the mitzvah of Peru Urvu, the Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Yishayahu. So why did it quote the pasuk from Yishayahu and not just quote the mitzvah? He has a mitzvah of Peru Urvu. What happened that the Gemara did not use the mitzvah of Peru Urvu? So according to the Chinuch, it's very interesting. The Sefer Chinuch actually bundles the two of them together. In the first mitzvah, in the Sefer Chinuch, he bundles the two mitzvot. And describing the mitzvah Peru Urvu, he says, you know what the purpose of the mitzvah Peru Urvu is? The purpose of Peru mitzvah is based on this pasuk in Yishayahu. He says, the mitzvah Peru Urvu, what's the root of this mitzvah? Said the world is settled. God wants the world to be settled. And now he quotes the pasuk from Yishayahu. Lo tov vira'ah lashevet yitzarah. Vehi mitzvah gedola. So he quotes as the source for this. Vehi mitzvah gedola. Shesiriyatam yitkayim et kol mitzvot v'olam. All the other mitzvot in the world are dependent on this. Ki livnei adam nitnu v'lo l'malachei asheret. Mitzvah were given to mankind, and so you have to multiply, you have to have mankind there in order to do the mitzvot. Very interesting approach that the Sefer HaChinuch has, that he uses the pasuk in Yishayahu to bolster the reasoning behind the mitzvah of Peru Urvu. The question that really comes up, and what Tosfot is asking over here, is there a difference between the two? And if there is a difference between the two, maybe it has broader application. And that has the question of, does Peru Urvu apply to, first of all, let's talk about non-Jews. Is there a mitzvah of Peru Urvu for non-Jews? The mitzvah of Peru Urvu is given before Matan Torah. It's given before Har Sinai. So there's a question. Since it wasn't repeated later after Har Sinai, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a principle that if it's not repeated again afterwards, then the mitzvah beforehand is for Jews, and it does not apply to non-Jews, which would indicate that Peru Urvu is not a mitzvah for non-Jews. But maybe the pasuk in Yishayahu has application, broader application than the mitzvah of Peru Urvu. That even though they don't have a mitzvah of Peru Urvu, they might still have a mitzvah of Lo Tohu Vira'ah, Lashevet Yitzarah. Meaning that they might have a mitzvah of settling the world, meaning that independent of the mitzvah of Peru Urvu, they might have a broader mitzvah called the Pasuk in Yishayahu. That's one thing. The second thing is, how does it relate to an Evik Nani and a Shipka Knani over here? Which Tosfot asks the question, he says, listen, this individual has a mitzvah Peru Urvu. He has a ben chorin, he has a mitzvah Peru Urvu. He has a problem of lo tia kadesh, he has a mitzvah lo tasei. So he says, vim tomar, le tia se de Peru Urvu, vidche lav de lo ye kadesh, and let it override the mitzvah of lo ye kadesh. So then you have an asei docha lo tasei. So first he says, v'yesh lamar b'shum didida leka asei. For this woman, she doesn't have an asei. Dev shalah be'ebed. This shifcha kananit doesn't have to marry this guy, she could go marry anybody else. She has options besides him. That's one. Vote. He says that maybe it's not be'idan de'ikara. So something that we saw before that Tosfot says in order to say doch lotus, they have to happen simultaneously. He says that b'tchilat bi'am ikara lav. The lotus say from the beginning of intercourse already is a problem. And you don't have the mitzvah pruervu until there's actually the end of bia. So there's a separation in time. I think you could argue against that, that it's one maisa, that maybe it is together. It gives other options over here. In the Gemara and other places like this in Gittin, he also asks, why isn't the Shifcha Kananit obligated in the same way? And so Tosafot actually differentiates between an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananit. An Eved Kanani is Chayev in Mitzvot Ki Isha, like a woman. A woman is not Chayevet in Peru Revu. So the same question will arise with a woman. A woman is not Chayevet in Peru Revu. Maybe she has the Mitzvah of Loto Vira, that she might have this Mitzvah, which it seems to be what Tosfot is suggesting, that she does have that mitzvah, but she should not have the mitzvah of Peru-Revu. That is the case, and an Eved Kanani should not have a mitzvah of Peru-Revu. Yet, it seems to be that Tosfot suggests that an Eved Kanani has a mitzvah of Peru-Revu. So the Turi Eved says, on behalf of Tosfot, that's because the Bnei Noach did have a mitzvah of Peru-Revu. They originally had it. After Har Sinai, they lost the mitzvah of Peru-Revu. An Eved Kanani, who now is coming back, in a sense, to the fold, because he's Mal, he gets a milah, he gets tefillah, and he becomes chayav in mitzvot, like an isha, since he once had a status as a ben noach to have this mitzvah, that mitzvah returns to him as an eved kanani. And so because of that, he has a mitzvah peruvu, despite the fact that a woman does not have a mitzvah or peruvu. Tosfot in other places talks about the shiva kananit and suggests that she does not have the mitzvah of peruvu. And then he says, okay, then why when you have a woman who's half kananit and half bat chorin, don't we force them to free her? We don't force the masters to free her over there. So there the Gemara says, only if she is a naguba minhag hefker. If she becomes a problematic woman, because she can't marry, so then she becomes a minhag hefker, then we force the adon to free her. But otherwise, we don't force them to free her. Why don't we have the problem of lo tu vira'a, the shevet yitzara? So Tosfot differentiates and says, there's a difference between the mitzvah pruervu, which is an active mitzvah, which you must be mikayim. That act of mitzvah yikayim, then a person, if you free them, is going to go do that mitzvah because they have an obligation to do the mitzvah. On the other hand, lotu vera is not an active mitzvah. It's, he calls it like a light assay, which is, she has to be mikayim yishuv ha'olam. But it's not an active mitzvah on her. Since it's not an active mitzvah on her, we're not certain if you free her that she'll actually be mikayim the mitzvah because she doesn't feel that compulsion to do it because she doesn't have the mitzvah per revu. So Tosfot sees the mitzvah puravu as being an active mitzvah where you have to actually do something and accomplish it, versus lo tivara, which is a mitzvah that only has application to the shivcha in the sense that she's supposed to do it, but not like it's an active mitzvah, an obligation on her. That's one piece of this puzzle. The other piece of the puzzle is there's an iser, min haTorah, an iser asay to free an eved kanani. It says that you must keep them enslaved and not let them go free. So, in that sense, to free the Eved Kanani is problematic. We have instances in Shas where an Eved Kanani was freed. One of them was to make a minyan. So there, the Gemara says, mitzvah derabim shiny. The mitzvah for derabim is different, so because of that, it's such a big mitzvah, it overrides. The mitzvah minyan overrides the assay of freeing an Eved. The question of the girsa is whether it's mitzvah derabim or mitzvah rabba. The mitzvah derabim or mitzvah rabba, great mitzvah. So, Tosafot there in Gittin also mentions, how can you free the Eved Kanani here to accomplish the mitzvah? He answers, because it's a mitzvah rabbah. It's a great mitzvah. How do I know it's a great mitzvah? Because what did the Gemara quote? The Gemara quoted the Pasuk in Yishayahu and did not quote the Pasuk of Peru Revu. It was simply the mitzvah of Peru Revu. That's one mitzvah in the Torah. But since the Gemara brings the Pasuk in Yishayahu to show you how important this mitzvah is, this mitzvah is so important because it has broader implications. It doesn't just affect Peru Revu, the people who are commanding it. Lo Tu Vira is a world mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that has implications for everyone in the world. Women, non-Jews, everybody has this mitzvah, and that's why he brings this pasuk in particular to show you that this assay can override the assay of not freeing an Eved Kanani. Right. There would be also, for Bnei Noach v'lo tov v'ra. That's right. According to that way, that's what we're going to see in 1 second in the Aruch HaShulchan. But therefore, he says it's a mitzvah rabba. That's what this pasuk shows you. And that's why the Gemara quoted this and not Peru Revu, to show you how big this mitzvah is, because that justifies the freeing of the Eved Kanani. Tosafot, earlier in the Masechta, said that when it comes to an assay, docha an assay, as long as the assay is greater, it can be docha a lighter assay. So over here, if you have a more chamur assay, like lo tov vera, that can override the assay of not freeing the Eved Kanani. So just in summary, the Aruch HaShulchan in the beginning of Eben HaEzer, he writes about Dinya Pri Rivya, he gives a summary of the mitzvah of Perur Avu, and he discusses this issue. It says, "Kesheborah HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Olamo, uvara et Adam, zachar nekida, k'ti v'yavechu tam elokim, yom lehem Perur Avu milu et aretz, v'kiv shua, v'chein achar amubu," after the bull, he repeats it again, by b'nei Noach, "v'arach et Noach u'banav, k'moshe gadav v'yavechu lukim et Noach v'et banav, yom lehem Perur Avu milu et aretz, ki ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'harbot min enoshi l'yishuvo shel olam." God wants the world to be settled. God wants the world to be full of people. Kamo shamar ha-navi. Like the Navi says, he quotes our pasuk from Yishayahu, "Lo tov vira'a l'shevet yitzara." "Ube'et shegalu Yisrael l'bavel." And when Bnei Yisrael sent it to Bavel, "Shalach lahem ha-navi Yirmiyahu." What does Yirmiyahu say to them? "You're going to be here for a while. Chu nashim ve'olidu banim." Ubanot. Marry. Have children. Klomar. "Al tamru kevin shenachta b'galut. Lamanu lanu l'harbot zera." Just because we're in Galut, you may say, maybe we're in Galut, God has thrown us out of the land, maybe we shouldn't have so many children anymore. Meaning that, maybe that's part of the punishment. "Ela atem mechuyavim lasot ha-mitzvah k'chol asher tzivanu Hashem Elokeinu." You have to do everything God said. "V'Hashem yaseh banu kirtzono." And God makes those decisions. You don't have the right to make a decision about the children. God makes the decision about where you're going to be, Galut, no Galut. But as far as you're concerned, your mitzvah is to populate the world. Everybody has this obligation. Not only a bracha, but a command that you do this. But pasuk hazeh hu the mitzvah. Harishon the bracha. The first time it's mentioned in Bereishit, it's a bracha. Umitzvah rabba hu ad lima'od. This is a tremendous mitzvah. The sustaining of the world is dependent on this mitzvah, and therefore it's a great mitzvah. Someone who was mekayim the mitzvah of Perur Avu, for whatever reason then, whether their children chas v'shalom passed away, or whatever reason, there might still be a residual mitzvah of tami p'nei shemitzvah mishum l'shevet yitzara. Kamin shemaitu ari lo kayim et ha-shevet. So even though you're mekayim Perur Avu, there's a residual mitzvah of l'shevet yitzara. Hafikach. He brings the story from the beginning of Brachot about Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech decided he didn't want to have children because he saw Atid Lavo, his children were going to be horrible, which was the truth. His son, Menashe, turns out to be a terrible king. He was Choteh, Machtiyah, Terabim, and he didn't want to have a child. The Yishayahu Novi comes and tells him, "You're going to die because you didn't keep this mitzvah." The answer with the Gemara says over there, with the ways of God, what is your business? Your business is to do the mitzvot, not to decide what happened. Your job is to have children. You don't have to think so hard that about it. Your job is to have children. You don't decide not having children because of what's going to happen to those children or because they're going to sin. You have the children. We'll deal with whatever happens afterwards. And therefore the Navi comes to and says that you have to do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And he brings other things that someone is not engaged in Pirivyav as if he spills blood. He brings many more memorot of Chazal. Then he brings here, "Yesh me'agdolim shekadfu sha'isha af she'enem tzuveh al pir yivriya, mikom makom chayevet b'leshevet yitzara." Many of the Gdolim wrote that even though she's not obligated in pir yivriya, she is obligated in leshevet yitzara. "Ve'ini ikar ledvarim alalu." Says, I don't believe that's correct. "Tucho ikar mitzvah pir yivriya hi mitam shevet." Because that is the whole reason. The whole reason for pir yivriya is leshevet yitzara. "Nashim kemishol nitzvu al pir yivriya, v'melo nitzvu al leshevet yitzara." "Chei muchach medivere Rambam." I can prove this to you from the Rambam. And he gives other rayot to that, but he says that there is no separation between the mitzvot. Whereas there are other rishonim, which we saw in Tosafot and others, that want to separate between the two mitzvot and say that if you don't have an obligation in Peririvya, you might still have an obligation in Leshevet Yitzara. So he quotes from the Shiltot, who says that mitzvah al Beit Yisrael the mitzvah of Nashe. That's a mitzvah for Jews to marry women. V'lo katav sham dov dekochavim mifgadei al Peririvya. But he doesn't say non-Jews are commanded on Pirimirvya. It's not one of the Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Kach Amru Charzal B'Frash. And all the poskim say that similarly. V'nirli d'gam ain kavanatam l'chiyuv gamord. V'af d'ain mitzvah mutal al ish haprati. Even though maybe there's no obligation on each individual to do Peruvu, v'al klaliot min enoshi. Humankind in general, chayel l'harbot b'yishuvo shel olam k'ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there's an obligation there that they multiply and they fill up the world. Because that is the Ritzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by Jews, there might be a particular mitzvah for each individual to be Mekayim that mitzvah. Whereas by non-Jews, mankind as a general principle might have an obligation together to accomplish that. And he says, "B'chein amru chazal b'nei Noach b'nei Peri'ivya." B'nei Noach b'nei Peri'ivya. Lo kama shenitzdavu. Not that they're commanded. Lo kama sheshayachim b'Peri'ivya b'kiyum olam. They're relevant to Peri'ivya and the kiyum olam. Shezeu ritzon haKadosh Baruch Hu. B'zeh mashia Surah Torah. That's to raise baal chai, and that's why you can't neuter an animal. But here he says that a ben Noach, not as a particular mitzvah, but as a general mitzvah, might have this obligation of l'shevet yitzara. So he's unwilling to separate between the two mitzvot of Peri Reva and l'shevet yitzara, because he says that's exactly the reason for Peri Reva's l'shevet yitzara. But he does give in that mankind as a whole has that mitzvah to mikayim this mitzvah l'shevet yitzara. Again, Tosfot calls it a mitzvah rabo. It's a very big mitzvah, as well as we saw that in the Chinuch as well, that it has implications, meaning that it overrides certain other mitzvot because it's such a great mitzvah. All right, we'll move on now in the Mishnah. Omer labdo, tzei v'shachot alai et ha-pesach. He says, does that go shech from yakar and pesach? Shachat di yochal. He shechs a goat for him, he eats it. Shachat tle, shechs a sheep for him, yochal. Shachat gedi utle. He says a kid and a lamb, yochal min harishon. He takes the first one. Because here, the Eved, he just told him to do it. Now, even though, we're going to see this in the Gemara, even though the master might like one or the other, fact is that he gave over the rights to the Eved, and the Eved now is empowered to make the decision. So whatever his decision he made, that's what's done. So if he did a kid or a lamb, that's what's done. Shachach mash amar lo rabbo. He forgot what his master said to him. Ketzed yaseh, what should he do now? Yishchot tleh gdi, he should shech both a lamb and a kid. V'yomar, im gdi amar li rabbi, if my master told me to shech a kid, gdi shalo, then the kid's his, utleh shali, and a lamb is mine. V'im tleh amar li rabbi, if my master said that the lamb was what he wanted, utleh shalo, then the lamb is his, gdi shali, and the kid is mine. Shechach rabo ma amar lo, he comes back to his master and says, what did you tell me? He says, I don't remember. Shnehem yatz'u l'beit ha-sreifa. Both korbanot go out to be burnt, because nope, we can't eat. They can't eat because it's bolum nuyab, because they're appointed on which korban. They don't know which one they belong to, which korban belongs to whom. On the other hand, p'turim laso pesach sheni. They're okay for pesach sheni because they read the korban was brought. At the time that it was brought, there was a certain amount of knowledge that made it possible for them to do it. So they didn't eat it, which we know before is that you have to have the possibility of eating it to be yotzei korban pesach, not that you actually have to eat it in the end. So that's what happened over here. We'll see that in the Gemara. It has to be at a point in time where the information came to them after a certain fact. Pshita. Shachat gdi yochal. What do you mean? If he shechted a gdi, of course he has to eat from it. So Gemara says, no. Afagab derago betzleh. Even though the master normally had lamb, if the Eved goes out and does a kid, then he's stuck because he empowered him to do it, and that's whatever he did. Shachat tleh yochal. If he shechs a lamb, he has to eat it. Afagab derago begi. Again, the same thing. Again, the chiddush is that even though the master normally ate kid, ela shachat gdi betzleh yochal min arishon. If he shechs a kid and then a lamb, he eats from the first one. Vatanya im nimnim al shnei psachim keechad. You're not allowed to join two psachim at once. So matnitan, our mission is a case of a melech umalka. It's a king and the queen. King and the queen, because king and the queen are indifferent as to what they eat. They get all the delicacies, they get whatever they want when they want it. So since they're indifferent about which one, a person who only has something like this, a delicacy like this, whether it's a kid or a lamb, once in a while, then he's makpid on what he gets. So therefore, if you place him onto two korbanot Pesach, then you have a problem. But over here, when you talk about the king and the queen, whichever comes first is fine. Because they're indifferent about what they eat, because they get it. If they don't get it today, they'll get it tomorrow. So they're okay with that. Somebody says, Vatanya. Vatanya. We have another bright though. Here is Binichuta. You can't join two psachim echad. We have a situation with the king and the queen. They said to their servants, go shech for us a Pesach. They went and made two psachim for him. They came and asked the king. He said, which one do you want? Ask the queen. They went and asked the queen. Ask Rabbi Gamliel which one. Datan kalalehem means that they're indifferent over here. They really don't care so much about it. They take the first one. Anan, but it was us. It was one of us. We couldn't eat from either of them, not the first or the second, because then we're nimnei on shnei psachim. Nimnei on shnei psachim, you have a problem right away, and you're out. If you're on two psachim, not only do you lose one, you lose both. Whereas the king and the queen, when they're nimni on shnei psachim, it doesn't matter. The second minui doesn't matter because the first one was what mattered over here. B'shuv pam achat nimtzeit halita'a b'beit ha-mitzchaim. They found a lizard in the Beit Mitzchaim. Ubakshu l'tamei et kol ha-suda kula. They wanted to make it all tamei. It's one of the shmona shvatzim that makes it tamei. They found a dead lizard. Now the korban of Pesach is tamei. Bal v'shalu et ha-melech, what to do? Amalem l'chu v'shalu et ha-malkah. Go ask the queen what to do. Obviously the queen was a wise woman, so he sent her over to the queen to ask her. Bal v'shalu et ha-malkah. Amalem l'chu v'shalu et Rabban Gamliel. Go ask Rabban Gamliel what to do. Bal v'shalu oto. They came to Rabban Gamliel. Amalem beit hamit b'chayim roteach utzonein. The Beit HaMitzvahim, when the lizard was there, it fell into hot water, cold water. What was there when it fell in? So Amrlo Roteach. It was hot water. It's dead, and it fell into hot water. Amlem lechubi tilu alea koshel tzonei. Go pour some cold water over it. Alchubi tilu alea koshel tzonei. They went and poured cold water over the lizard. Verichashat. Started to shake and move around. It wasn't dead. And the shvatzim are only mitamei when they are dead, not when they are alive. If it's alive, then no problem of tumayir. B'tiyah Rabbi Gamliel kol suda kula. And Rabbi Gamliel was matar the suda, and they could eat. Nimtza melech talui b'malkah. The king was dependent on the queen. We say malkah talui b'Rabbi Gamliel, and the queen's dependent on Rabbi Gamliel. Nimtza go suda talui b'Rabbi Gamliel. The whole suda was dependent on Rabbi Gamliel. He's the one who came up with the solution to the problem. So here, if you're manui on shnei psachim, you have a problem because you have a problem of breira, which won't work here. We don't allow breira to work. On the other hand, for the king and the queen, there is no breira because of their indifference. Therefore, whichever one's first is what they wanted. And so now we move on. Shachach masha amar lo rabo. He forgets what his master told him. Shali, what do you mean Shali? The Eved over here goes ahead, right, says, oh, you'll get the carbon with the, this is for my master and this is for me. Me, he's an Eved Kanani, mashakana Eved Kana rabo. He has no independent ownership. He has no independent ownership, then the master has two carbonot in the end. Amar abaya holech, it's a ro'eh ragil rabo, it's lo. He goes to the shepherd that his master normally goes to. So this shepherd has a vested interest in seeing that his things work out for his master. He has a business with him, and he wants things to work out. So therefore, what does he do? He gives the Eved one of the animals with a stipulation that it's only if his master has no rights in it. So he gives him independent ownership. He creates this ability to give him independent ownership.
Who?
The Ro'eh. So his animals. And so he grants one to the master, and then he grants one to the Eved, independent of his master's ownership. Now there is a machloket when you grant something to an Eved with independent ownership of the master. Does that mean that he gets it right away and he can hold on to it and he has ownership right away? Or until he's freed, then he gets it then, it becomes his property then. So Tosfot discusses that, but he says despite that fact, either way, it's still enough his to be considered his Korban HaPesach. Shachach Rabo Masha Amar Lo. His master forgot what he told him. Amar Abayi. It's only if he forgot after Zrikat Adam. This is your question. So at the time that Zrikat Adam was done, it was still Ra'ui the Achila. Because at the point of Zrikat, they knew which one belonged to whom. There they had the information. So it was a Korban that was potentially able to be eaten. Since it was potentially able to be eaten, it's a good garment of Pesach. But shachach lifnei zrika, because before zrika, he's derek dam, lavi chazil achila. The time of zrika the dam, it was no potential to eat it. Chayav lasot Pesach sheni. In that case, you have to do Pesach sheni. So that's the quirk about garment of Pesach. It's so dependent on achila that we say the achila is determinant in terms of the Korban HaPesach. But it's not that you actually have to physically eat it. It has to be that the Korban is brought at a time period and for people who can eat it. So at the time that it's brought, it has to be ro'oi l'achila for people who can eat it. If something changes after that time and they don't end up eating it, it's still a good Korban HaPesach, even though they don't physically eat it. So Ike demani lo abraita, some brought this into abraita. Chamisha shenitarvu orot piskayem ze bezeh. Five people, the skins that were flayed from the Korban HaPesach got mixed up. Okay, no big deal, except they found a wart on one of them. A yabelet is something that's a mum that is posel the Korban HaPesach. So now one of them have a problem. Kulan yotzin the Beit HaSreifa. All the Korban HaPesach go out to the Beit HaSreifa now because one of these five Korban HaPesach is a posel Korban HaPesach. So you don't know which one of the five. You send them all out. They all get burnt. Upturim lasot Pesach Sheni. They don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. They did this week out of Dam, even though one of them was problematic. One of them needs to bring a Pesach Sheni, but we don't know which one is the one who has to bring Pesach Sheni. So that is a problem. So Amar Abayi, lo shanu el shenit arvu l'achar zrika. Exactly what you just said. That only if it happens after Zrikat Adam to be eaten at this direct Dam, miyahava chazil achila. The time of Zrika Adam, they could have eaten the Korban HaPesach because they would have known who it belongs to. If they got mixed up before Zrika Adam, all the Mephzil of Pesach Sheni, because then they were never really in the Achilah because they couldn't have determined which one belongs to whom. One who says about our Mishnah, Koshken Abraita. The one who says that we say this about our Mishnah certainly would say it about the Braita, because in our Mishnah, both Korban HaPesach are kosher. There, he still requires it to be after Zrikah that the information is lost. So certainly in the Braita, where one of them is Pasul, certainly he would require that after Zrikah Adam. Manda Matni a Braita, the one says a Braita, but I'm not need to know. Fire me a Mishnah, no, I came into Kshirim, then who? So he says they are kasher. Idkar, since if he remembers which one is which, then they would be fine. They could eat it. Kamishmaya galio. For Shemayim, it's mutar. Meaning that even if he forgot the information before Zrikat Adam, it'd still be okay, because technically if he remembers the information, then the Korbanei Pesach are kasher. Since if he remembers their kasher, then Vifei Shemayim, they know which one belongs to whom, and therefore it's a kosher Korbanei Pesach. So that's a machloka with our Mishnah, whether you can apply it or not. The one who says about the Braita says our Mishnah, totally fine. You don't have to be after Zrika. It could even be before Zrika that he forgets the information. According to one who says about our Mishnah, would also say it about the Braita, that all the information has to be forgotten, or the mix-up has to happen after the Zrika Adam. Amar Mar. Upturim b'asod Pesach Sheni. They don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Va ikachad lo nafik. Well, in the end, we know at least one of them wasn't Yotzei. There's a Pasul Karban here. Shalod o Efshar. We have no option. What's your option? Echad Avid. Leitik ochad b'chad Pesach. What do you mean? Everybody's going to bring a Pesach Sheni. All five of them bring a Pesach Sheni. Kamaiti chulun azara. You bring in chulun azara. Four of these karbanot are not karbanei Pesach. Da arba minai wabdi luhu. Four of them are already Yotzei with Pesach Rishon. Leite kulu chad Pesach. All right, so let them bring all of them bring one Pesach. All those five people will join together. It says nimtza Pesach nechal shalom nuyav. Then you have a problem here because four of the people don't belong on this Pesach, and they're going to eat from a Pesach that doesn't belong to them. Hi, my leite kulu chad meinayu pischo v'nitne v'neima idi di bamum haide aiti ashtoni avi Pesach. Let them all bring a Pesach and say, listen, if I had the pasul Pesach, then this korban that I'm bringing now is my Pesach. If my Pesach was a kosher Pesach, then what I'm bringing over here is a shlamim. Because we know that a Pesach can be a shlamim. Lo efshar. That's not possible. Because you have a problem here. A shlamim is different than a korban Pesach. The korban Pesach is eaten entirely by the balim. A korban shlamim, a portion of the korban has to go to the kohanim, which is the chazeh and shok, or gift as a gift to the kohanim. Since you give a gift to the kohanim, you can't eat it. Now I have a problem. I don't know if this is a Pesach. I don't know if this is a shlamim. What happens to the chazeh v'shok now? What am I going to do? I can't eat the chazeh v'shok because maybe it's a shlamim that belongs to the kohanim. It's a Pesach. I could eat the chazeh v'shok. I don't know what to do. So it's not possible because I don't know what to do with the chazeh v'shok over here. So now we'll stop here, even though the Gemara continues. It continues all the way down to the Mishnah. The next line in the Gemara, and we'll do this tomorrow, is, okay, so he should have a Kohen join his party. Because a Kohen join his party, then he can solve the problem because the Kohen can eat the chazeh v'shok. All right, so we'll deal with that tomorrow.